Anytime you'd like to start, Mr. Chairman.
All right, we'll call the Finance Committee meeting to order. Thank everyone for coming. Item two is public comment. There's no one here. We'll take number four ahead of number three. Ross will be networking switches to City Hall and the waste treatment.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, in 2015, CIP funding was approved for the replacement of multiple switches throughout City Hall and the new and the old waste treatment plants. And I'm just looking at potentially getting approval for to go ahead and make that purchase and the replacement of those switches.
So what do those switches look like?
Kind of like a big box that basically all the computers in the city plug into.
Where are they at then? In one room or all over?
They're all over. There's several here at City Hall. There's four at the new treatment plant and two at the old treatment plant. So
they're just the only ones that need to be replaced?
At this point. Recommended replacement is about every 5 to 6 years for those pieces of equipment. And there's more switches throughout the city, but their service life isn't quite expired yet. So.
Ross, did you have what was budgeted, $56,000? Is that what was budgeted?
Yes, between the treatment plant fund and the IT request.
And the reason this is coming before the committee, Mr. Chairman and members, is that the $25,000 capital purchase policy requires it to come.
Exceeded.
Yep.
Any other questions?
I'll move to approve.
Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
It passes.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ross. Hey, Larry.
Hi.
All right, item three, the original item three, the library lease with the county.
Did you want to take that?
No, well, you can go ahead.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, your council action is information that the city has in the past couple instances I've been asked by the county to do a consent to lease. We have a joint powers agreement between the city and Candy Lake County where we share in the operation of the Wilmer Library. And part of that agreement is where we pay 60% of the operating costs and the county pays 40%. The item that you have before you here as far as the lease is a deduct directly from the costs, and so it nets out and we pay 60% of the net result. The county has worked out with Pioneerland Library System a lease where they are increasing it by 3% annually. So this is just basically a consent to lease. The lease is actually between Candy Lake County and Pioneerland Library System.
It's a five-year lease.
Yes, sir.
And this is over and above what we paid to the library.
We have two payments for the Wilmer Library. One is to the system, and that is we've had maintenance of effort. They've asked, actually going into 17, a 3% increase in their budget. And then we have also the joint powers or the joint agreement with Candy Lake County where we have a joint cost share on the maintenance and operations of the building. So those are the two costs that we have in our budget. So this would be, this lease actually is a reduction in their.
It's an offset.
Offset of their of the cost of operating the building.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll move to approve for discussion.
Second.
Further discussion, Ron?
Thank you. The 3% COLA, is that something, has that been ongoing?
That's what it is. And I had asked a question that it's maybe a little on the high side for inflation, but then they're willing to pay that. And the county is, you know, that's what they're recommending. So it's actually a bigger deduct for the city. This is revenue received.
This is curious because, like you said, inflation is. But if they're willing to pay it.
Audrey?
Their last lease, do you know what was in that?
As far as increases?
On the other, yeah.
I do not.
What was the question?
The last, what was built into the last lease that's expiring? Do you know?
I mean, this is the same terms as I understand it and everything.
So it was 3% before, too?
Inflation.
That's what I was asking, was what was in there.
I think it was, but I'd have to double check.
We certainly can put that in the minutes. There were annual increases, so it has been increasing over the past few years.
Their negotiation. I'm okay with it.
But they take, the county takes care of janitorial services and snow removal.
Yes.
Grass.
Yeah. Yeah. There's an agreement between the, like I said, the county and the city. that's an ongoing agreement. There's no expiration on that. When we actually did the addition with the local option sales tax, that's addressed in that agreement where we were responsible for all the improvements because we had the funding source. Mm-hmm. But the annual operation maintenance is a 60-40 split.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? That carries. All right. Our budget summary here.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, again, before you is the 15 comprehensive annual financial report. We talked about this at our last meeting. I highlighted some of the items there. The auditors will actually be at your next meeting on August 22nd to do their presentation and answer any questions. I do not have any additional comments unless there were questions of the committee, or I've not received any phone calls in finance as far as clarification of any of the information provided earlier.
So who did the audit again, the ones on Highway 40?
Westberg and Eichens, yes.
And how many years have they done it?
They've been the city's auditors prior to my coming, so it's been, you know, 30 years. They've had some ownership changes there.
Yeah.
Name change.
Well, they've had some name changes and ownership changes. I don't believe the two principals of Tom Eichens or Paul Westberg are with the firm anymore. But they've kept that name. I think the principals are Scott Van Buren, Mike Clares, and Michael. The last name is escaping me presently. There's three principals, basically.
But didn't we switch it up every 5 years or something?
There was a three-year agreement, and I believe this is probably the third year, I believe, that's up to be RFPs put out for next time we do it.
All right. So, Audrey?
I wasn't at the table last meeting, but I was here. And the reason that this is in there here this time from is additional information from what was in last time?
No, this is this. Well,
it's
sorry.
The same.
It's the same information. Okay. It was only put on as a to continue the discussion in case there was any questions until the auditors come next meeting.
So since you have a different group here today, they can ask their questions when the auditors come, correct?
Sure. Unless there's questions, if you want to give them to me prior to that time, I mean, whatever
the
committee wants to do.
Larry?
Mr. Chair, you know, I just, like, sometimes there's some confusion on how much money the city has and what's available, and I think this is a, you know, they're a great third party maybe to answer that question, and if you have any of those questions right now, Steve can make a note of those and then have them cover that when they make their presentation.
Only comment, I mean, you did a good job putting some of that, the cash out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had a question with, that was only about half what our cash is. So I think in light of looking at a local option sales tax, we should probably walk through all of it.
And the restrictions that
yes.
are on that.
Yes.
We certainly can do that. In the footnotes, there is a footnote that outlines the cash that the city proper has,
yep.
Rice Hospital and the municipal utilities. The total is $117 million.
Mm-hmm.
And it does go into detail about restrictions, bond covenants, but we certainly can have that as part of the presentation, and I have talked to the auditors about that. So I believe they plan on talking about that to some degree. And a lot of those restrictions or designations really are up to the council.
Yeah.
to set as policy on a lot of them.
That would be helpful to have as people look at, you know, even a cheat sheet kind of concept of here's what we have, but we can't spend it
and
for these reasons.
And they are broken out. If I can find the page number real quick, I will see if I can find it real quick and reference it. But it is broken out by column as far as restrictions and designations and in the footnotes as well for the city proper.
The other, I think, question would be how do we compare to other cities with the restrictions that we have? Do we have more restrictions than other communities?
The comment I'd make on that is that in order to do accurate comparisons, one would need to make sure that, you know, the services that are being provided and some of those things are all kind of taken into consideration as well. We are probably a little more conservative than some. Any of the debt service requirements or funds would be pretty standard. Outside of the fact that we have a 10-year street program, a lot of communities don't have that. General fund, which is the major discussion, a lot of communities would not have the emergency level of designations, and the charter talked about up to 10%. A lot of them would have maybe 1 year. The philosophy and discussion in the past is to have 2 years so that if need be and you needed to use the emergency appropriations for whatever reason, that you would have at least one budget cycle to be able to decide what you want to do rather than having to handle it right away. So that's all, again, a philosophical discussion that the council certainly can have. The $1 million insurance designation, a lot of communities wouldn't have that, but we have reduced the premiums dramatically over the years. At one point, the interest earnings from the $1 million, when interest rates were a little higher, actually paid for the premium. Mm-hmm. That money had been used as a temporary funding source for the auditorium, and the council had set a policy of as we get premiums or dividends back from the trust to replenish that. We have a $4 million designated reserve for cash flow purposes. As we've talked about in the past, local government aid and property taxes, which make up 3/4 of our general fund operating budget, come in twice a year, into June and November. And so we have that fully funded. Some communities don't have that. So there has been some policies by past councils. And if you look at page 68 of your handout, that's where the fund balance detail kind of shows the general fund and what's non-expendable, what's restricted, what's committed, and unassigned.
Did we ever ask the county to pay our share earlier?
We have not requested that. That is an option that we could request on tax settlements.
Yeah. Like
I think you can do it even quarterly.
Quarterly?
Yeah, I believe that is available.
Would that help us? Or?
Well, one of the things that we did when we built the hospital is, and it sat well with Moody's rating agency, the bond rating agency, is that we get a monthly amount sent to us from Rice Hospital that goes into their debt service account. But we can use that as a cash flow to pay bills. It just a bookkeeping entry to do that. So it served two purposes that Moody's liked. One was that we had a monthly communication with Rice Hospital and kind of knew if something was maybe not, they weren't able to meet their debt requirements. And the second item was to help our cash flow purposes.
Okay.
But it's still monies that are designated for Rice Hospital's debt service and can only be used for that. It's just when it comes in and when the other bills go out part. So, but you see all of the reserves there on, like I said, page 68. And so we'll have them even talk to that as well if there are additional questions. The debt service is a large amount, and that those are pretty much restricted by the bond covenants. We have that 10-year street program. The community investment fund that you'll see in about the middle of that page of about $8.2 million, where that was established was the informal defeasance of a number of bond issues in the late 80s or early 90s.
What page are you on now?
I'm on page 68 still. Under the restricted column, about halfway. That earnings from that at one point was paying for the city's share of the street program.
At one point.
That was in the neighborhood of about $400,000. The earnings from that now are somewhere in the $150,000 ranges with interest rates. That's why the council instituted the utility fee, the $4 utility fee, which goes and supplements the amount, and the combination of the two presently pay for the city's share of the debt service, the 10-year debt service. And so any reduction in that, which the council could do by a, I believe, 7/8 vote, would have an impact on the street obligations. And so there would have to be some discussion about that to make sure the bond covenants are still met. So that, along with the debt service, is, you know, a large chunk of the total.
Thank you. Of all the dollars there, the non-spendable, restricted, and committed, unassigned, I think the general public or certain individuals want to know how much of that can be spent or is open for spending or moving around by the city.
Without policy change or?
No, currently.
Well, any of the fund levels can be redesignated by the council, but the discussion, I would caution, would have to take place about the cause and effect.
And the, is it a 7/8 vote or something like that, too? Or
a simple majority, except for the community investment fund, I believe.
Okay, and then the, since the city owns the utilities in the hospital, you mentioned we get the monthly payment from Rice Hospital. That's at our discretion too, actually.
Well, there's two payments from Rice Hospital. One is the debt service payments that we were talking about.
Yep, the monthly
that you're
one.
Referring to. That has to be used for their debt service.
But you said
there is an intergovernmental transfer payment that is part of the general fund operating budget.
Mm-hmm. I understand, and that can go anywhere, but it's part of our general fund for operating. But that monthly payment that's made for debt service, mm-hmm. is that discretionary to a point? Can the city say, well, we need some of that money for whatever?
Not money that's designated for debt service. That is based on on the debt service amortization.
So then why did Moody's say that it was a good thing? Because it can help our cash flow.
Well, it's just the communication standpoint as far as knowing if making sure the money is going into the and there for the debt payment.
And instead of relying upon the hospital?
Well, I mean, they are somewhat autonomous. I mean, and so just to make sure that the communication is there. I mean, it's similar to when the county, city, and school district were all meeting. They looked favorably about that on that, mm-hmm. too, so that the communication and coordination of
right.
debt.
So, our bonding amount can stay somewhat under where we're supposed to be.
or be able to explain, like if we were going out for bonding, to know that there's a project that's maybe coming down from the school or the county. And mm-hmm. it's just because there's overlapping taxing jurisdictions.
The average person looking at this, at a report like this, still doesn't have the idea of what is somewhat discretionary spending by us. I mean, the amount. Is it $1 million? Is it $52 million? Is it $17 million? What is it?
That's a good question. What do you call discretionary?
That's what I was going to ask.
He asked the question, there isn't any, the council has designated money to be in various funds. So there isn't just money sitting there that's not designated, if I read these correct.
Correct.
Except for unspent funds at the end of the year when we...
But that is by council. Yeah, that by council has been designated for future budgets. And you'll see that on, it says year 2017, a little under $1.4 million. It's the third item down under the committed column. Mm-hmm. And so the mayor will have that presented to him as available for the 17 budget.
Okay, what I'm getting at is, I got some older people in my neighborhood calling me saying, well, the Civic Center needs to spend $2.5 million on refrigeration. Well, you guys have X amount of money in the bank. Why can't you just take it out of there? So this is what I'm getting at.
And they are all planned or designated for a purpose.
Correct.
Any number of them could, Mr. Chair, any number of them could be changed. I mean, like the emergency reserve, mm-hmm. You could have 2 years, you could have 1 year, and I think you don't even need one technically.
No, it just allows it by charter. Mm-hmm.
Well, we've been fiscally conservative. You've been for the many years.
Well, the council has set these policies. So.
And we're in pretty good financial shape compared to a lot of other cities. I mean,
well, really. I think that the item that needs to be explained to individuals is that there is, as Councilman Nelson said, there's no dollars that aren't planned for something or aren't designated or that. Basically is a result of, in the early 90s, the state auditor at the time, Arnie Carlson, I believe was in the 90s, and the state was criticizing communities for having monies sitting there not designated for anything. And I think the planning and the budgeting and the foresight of saying this is for this purpose was created at that point in time.
No doubt that's a good idea. However, nonprofits do the same thing, but it's still a slush fund, somewhat. That say, well, we're designating this for the future barn theater. We have $1.5 million. Well, you can't have it there unless it's designated, and they don't know if they're going to use it for that or not. I mean, that's just an example. That's not fact. Or I'm just using an example. So by saying this designated for something, you can say, well, we need $1 million here, but we're going to designate 1.4. You know, that's done. Again, back to the question of these people asking, you know, you say, well, they're all designated funds. They're all designated for this, and there's operating and there's capital improvements. But we have unspent funds at the end of almost every year. It used to be up to $800,000 to $900,000. When I first came on the council, there was a lot of unspent funds, and now it's down to a trickle.
Well, in the 2015, and it's in your report, we had planned on spending roughly $560,000 of carryover dollars, mm-hmm. I'll call them. The 2015 ended up that the excess revenues over expenditures was about $60,000. So we didn't need to spend that. So the $60,000 of excess revenues plus what we had anticipated spending is about $700,000 of the 1.3. Now, some of the liability reductions is where the difference of where that $700,000 increased to 1.3. And some of those liability reductions have freed up those dollars. So we're always working with that, making it available to the council.
Audrey?
So to some degree, the comments that you were making are true. But the council has set the policy for what needs to be reserved.
Correct.
So there isn't money sitting around doing nothing. But the council could take a different look and spend some of that money, and not have the reserves for various things, but we could run into other issues if we do that. But I think the question is, are we at the right balance for what we're keeping versus how far behind we are with everything?
And that
I think that's a frustration that I hear from the community is, you know,
what
it's great to say that you need XYZ in your checking account, mm-hmm. but if you're behind on things, then is that the right policy?
From a legal standpoint, all the debt service funds
mm-hmm.
have to be used for debt service. Even excess, like excess construction, like a bond. Mm-hmm. You sell a bond for a street project and you don't spend it all, it has to go back into repayment of that debt service.
But that's why I think it's important that we can say that to the community. Mm-hmm. We can't spend this money because some mm-hmm. of it is because of the hospital and because of the utilities right. and because of other things. Yeah. So
I would say that if you look at the general operating fund, and the council does have a fund balance policy mm-hmm. that has been reviewed and comes to the yep. council annually, along with the investment policy and a number of policies, and that's, you know, I would say is where the discussion really needs to take place about, are these the right levels? And of course that's going to be individually up to the individuals as far as, are these the right levels or not? And all staff can do is make recommendations, and ultimately it's up to the policymakers to decide if that is the right levels or not. There are things that, example being the reserves on the emergency appropriations. Is it required to have 2 years? No. Is it allowed? Yes. The reasons for it, again, allowing council's time to react to something in case an emergency of that magnitude were to take place. Is that a good practice or not? I mean, that's individually.
Yeah. There's probably a lot of communities who'd like to have our problem. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because we do have good reserves.
Well, and some of the other things that would be reasons past councils have taken the practice that they have is the unallotment of LGA.
Yeah. Yeah.
The non-payment of LGA, which is a major revenue, and those types of items. I mean, we have not experienced it here where there's been a large delinquency in property tax payments. Some communities would have that.
Yeah.
If there's a large business or manufacturing that went out of business and they have a large delinquency, I mean, ours is usually running about 97%, and then the other 3% trickle in over the next year or two. And we, you know, provide that information and track that. So I can't say that for other communities. It's similar to what the council had set for rates for the waste treatment plant. And do you put the rates into the usage charge or do you put it into the debt service charge? Well, I think it was a wise policy for the council to put the debt service charge at what is required, because that's a fixed charge if the business is in business or not. And so then the operating costs are covered by the usage charge. So,
Larry?
Mr. Chair, and then obviously having a strong balance sheet means they have a good bond rating. And then also, I know Steve and I have dealt with this, maybe a council member comes up and says, well, I want to do this, and can you find $500,000? And while there's a process, it has to be in the CIP, and it has to, you know, be amended through the city council, and there's almost like roadblocks in that process. And they're usually there for a reason, that people aren't, you know, just jumping spontaneously to do things. And so that I think it's a positive.
Another example would be that past councils had set monies designated on the development of the industrial park, the old industrial park. And so those dollars were actually available to the council put towards relocating the airport to be able to expand the industrial park and increase the tax base. And so those are the reasons for some of that. Well, and that will be something that discussion will take place during this budget cycle, as well as do the council or does the council want to continue with that practice with the new industrial park. But those are decisions and that are forthcoming, because we've had, I think, 3 parcels that have sold. And so there's some dollars there that presently are going towards the industrial park, but the council would need to analyze that to see if they want to continue with that practice or not.
Is it possible to have a category? I was just thinking, we have like City Hall, the auditorium, fire station, civic center, community center, public works garage, you know, allocate like $50,000 per year per, so like 7 buildings, $350,000 for deferred maintenance.
Historically, cities have done that.
Yeah.
And I think that's where some of the discussion about setting these little pots aside rather than prioritizing and utilizing the dollars is, you know, but that was a practice years ago that they would do that.
I think we need to go back to that, so we had money. Yeah. You know, it was just like RAC 8 where we had the separate fund, mm-hmm. and then we were told, oh, you can't do that anymore, and now we did it again. I mean, we went back to the old way.
Well, the RAC 8 was, when a franchise was first established, there was a special revenue fund created, mm-hmm. and then it was relocated as a department within the general operating. And then those monies that were in reserve were available and redesignated for some projects. The past action, I believe, coming forward in 17, the proposal is, and then that department was combined with IT. So I believe the RAC 8 committee has made a recommendation that it be separated again between RAC 8 and IT, but that there's still separate departments in the general operating. And so that any excess dollars received from the franchise will still be available for any activity in the general and is not going to be a separate fund. That's my understanding of it. Okay. The council could do that, but my understanding is it's still a department in the general operating, separated
for,
from
it. For a while, though, we just put it into the general fund, didn't we, yep. for a year or two?
Yeah, and then
yes, we did.
Well, and that's where it's been for the last, I think, about 4 years.
Didn't we just change it here?
No.
In the last
well, we
year?
Changed something to make it a separate line item.
A separate department.
Separate,
yeah. Yeah. Separate from information systems.
So we know exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. But the franchise generates more revenues than what the costs
correct.
Are.
Yeah.
Those dollars will be factored into the total available for the general fund at this point from the actions that have been taken.
But they will also have a budget and request funds for whatever, RACI.
Just for the...
there's going to be a transition coming up here where we're going to get into new equipment.
I believe the franchise is up for renewal and negotiations.
Yep,
and
this
so
year.
Yep. That's the information that I've received, mm-hmm. so the mayor will make his recommendation on that as a separate department, my understanding. But those dollars are, the excess will not be just reserved for RAC 8 at this point. It'll be available for police, fire,
right.
all of that.
Or RAC
8. With approval.
Or RAC 8.
Yeah.
It'll be factored in available revenue.
You're probably getting more to the concept of true cost centers where you can see revenues versus expense. I think that's one of the frustrations with Community Ed and RAC and some different ones. But hear both from the school and from us with how those dollars are tracked, or what does it cost us to have RAC 8? What does it cost us to have, you know, those kinds of things, even though they cross over into, you know.
Those are all policy decisions by the council.
Yeah.
And at one point we had cost centers for tree removal, snow and ice.
Yeah.
I mean, and that at one point was recommended to be all consolidated into public works.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the council and the mayor chooses to break out can be done. I mean, if the community ed and rec, if the council wanted to go back and look at what's in recreational, what's in community education, that certainly could be done. I know that that agreement is has been looked at for discussion numerous times, and it's really up to the mayor to recommend that and the council to ultimately make the decisions.
There.
Councilmember Nelson brought up the local option sales tax, and as you know, the council increased what was available for those three projects, Swanson, Robbins, and the Civic Center, by $2 million, actually. And so, you know, we really need to identify exactly what we're going to do with that money. And so it's proposed that that go back to the Community Education and Recreation Committee and try and, you know, go through the park plan and identify specifically or better than what we know now, what it's going to be used for, so that we can put together an educational brochure or some market, I don't like to call it marketing information, but educate the voters on what we're going to be doing with those funds. And so just wanted to get your input on that.
Can we do that? I, I, Not that the city cannot be involved in promoting.
We can't market, but we can still educate people what the question is. I mean, you couldn't advertise to pass it.
Vote yes, in other words. Yeah, but you can say, here's what's planned.
Yeah. Well, obviously someone has a plan, because Steve was on the radio last week, mm-hmm. and he was talking about Swanson Field that I had never, ever even heard of before.
I got that, too, and I thought,
I don't know where all that information's been hiding.
If you go back to the park plan, it's in the park plan. Other than the concept, I think, of adding an entrance off from 18th Street, all of that's in the park plan that was presented and accepted. The whole concept of laying that
out
and doing...
Well, that's their concept.
It was presented to us. The committee worked on it. The concepts were brought forth, and it was presented to us.
But they had other parks, too, and changing locations of the fields and stuff. I'd never heard of that before.
But all of that was worked through that park. I mean, I worked on that committee for how many years? I mean, all of that was in the park plan. Same thing with some of the concepts that are being talked about with Robbins Island. It's in the park plan.
So anyway, Mr. Chair, we need to go back and revisit that so we're all on the same page and singing mm-hmm. the same song, that we know what we're doing.
Okay. Any other questions? So this is for information only. The auditor will be there on Monday.
Okay. On the 22nd.
Oh, the 22nd.
He'll come back to this committee, yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And the mayor's proposed budget agenda here?
That, Mr. Chairman, is setting the date. I'm not sure that we have that confirmed yet. I believe we have it was originally scheduled for Monday, which would have been the fifth Monday in August, but there's a conflict with the meeting room at the utilities, and I think we have reserved it for the 31st, but I don't know if that's been confirmed with the mayor yet.
I think the 29th may have come available.
Okay.
And we'll confirm that.
Don't we trump
anybody in August? Back in August?
We should. Wait a minute, we own this.
So we're back on the 29th?
I think so, but we'll confirm that.
Okay. Yep. So that's just for information. Mm-hmm.
Isn't there another place we could meet if we didn't do that?
If there are videotaping, we have reviewed possibly the county has mm-hmm. that capabilities. Otherwise, it would have to be a remote or a
Rack 8.
Do we have the capability of doing that too?
At Rack 8.
Record
yep.
it and then replay it that way instead of live.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. I believe it's going to be recorded anyway because of the time of
right.
day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we would need to find a different facility either. We thought of the fire station or any place where we could set up some cameras. Mics and
library
or Rack 8 studio or, yeah. So it sounds like we'll be able to have it at the council chambers.
Anything else? Audrey?
No.
Ron?
Not a clue.
Let me think here a minute. I'll move to adjourn if we're done with the agenda.
Okay, we're adjourned.